Sin. It's a word we shrink from. We don't want to use it for others, lest we be thought to be judgy. So we prefer euphemisms such as wrong was done or mistakes were made when it comes to evaluating the actions of others. And for ourselves, we make the excuses, I didn't know. I was having a bad day. Things happened. Yeah, when it comes to ourselves and in our failed behaviors. But what can we say to God? The Psalms are a little different from the rest of the Bible because instead of being God's word to God's people, they are the words of God's people back to God. They are naked and honest reflections of sinful human beings like us. This Lent, at Advent, we have the opportunity to meditate on selected Psalms, and tonight we begin with Psalm 51 that we just read. This psalm has been classically interpreted to come from King David after the prophet Nathan convicts him of adultery and murder and coveting his neighbor's wife. If you don't remember the story, see me afterwards. Massive breaking of the Ten Commandments. Even though as king, you know, divine right of rulers and all, he could get away with saying, as king, I can do what I want. I'm above the law. As many a head of state has said, even down to the present day. And he would not have gotten into any political trouble for claiming that he was above the law. But Nathan challenges him with the indictment that he's not above God's law. And we aren't either. We may make excuses to our friends and neighbors, but they won't wash with God. Now, God cares about those transgressions of man-made laws, like the traffic laws that are in place for the common good, even though they have flaws, as all man-made things do. God also cares about God's laws that God gave us for communal living that rest on moral and ethical orientations that God gave us to keep in place and preserve relationships, like protecting lives and property and the reputations of others. And above all the other laws, what all those laws are really about ultimately, is preserving our relationship with God. When we violate that first law about loving and trusting in God above all things, that's when we turn from God's will to self-will. And that's sin. We do it all the time. As the psalmist says, my sin is ever before me. Our sin of being self-centered is one that we never grow out of, one that we continue to repent of throughout our lives. The psalmist is sorry for all the hurt that the sins have caused, and most sorry about how it's affected the relationship with God. If our sin has cast us out from God's presence, or caused us to feel alienated from God as if we'd been cast out, then it is only when God hides the divine face from the sin, hides from our sins instead of from us, that the alienation is eased. And so the psalmist cries, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And then what? How to respond? Deliver me, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. Open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. If our transgression and corruption have silenced our will to follow Jesus, to praise God, then it's only God that can open our lips. Lent calls us back into a right relationship with God, where we can join the forgiven community in praise to God for what God has done for us. We cry to God to restore a right spirit, because only God can put our sin to death and create new life. Sin's death requires the life-giving grace of God. Grace and faithfulness and compassion. So that's what the psalmist asks for first. Have mercy on me, O God. And in that context, then, the psalmist says two things are required. The repentance of the sinner and ritual actions. The psalmist presents himself, his sin, his sinfulness before God in repentance, and then engages in ritual acts of purging and cleansing. Remove my sin, purge me with hyssop, wash me. These ritual acts, like those that Jesus enumerates, fasting and prayer and alms, like the ashes tonight, like the Lenten disciplines that you undertake in yourself or in support of the community's Lenten observance, like the soup suppers and midweek services. These ritual actions the psalmist presents to God. But ultimately, it is God's grace that makes those ritual acts of repentance meaningful and efficacious. The ritual action is effective because it reflects divine action. And God, the divine, takes action because the penitent prays in faith for God to act and to reunite them. Create in me a clean heart. Put a new and right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Recreating the human heart is something that only God can do. And it's right up there with the original creation of the world. That's how hard it is for God to create in me a new heart. And cleaning the sinful heart means that the heart must die with sin so that in its place, a new heart can be created. The psychology people tell us that it takes 6 weeks for a practice to become a habit. There are 6 weeks in Lent. The amount of time for your discipline that deepens your relationship with God to become a habit, that carries you into a new way of being, makes you a new creation, creates in you a new heart. And creation is God's work. Every mention in Psalm 51 of a remedy or answer for the miserable consequences of sin, it's all couched in terms of God's initiative and God's execution. Our psalmist does not entertain any fantasies about human ability to cleanse, to purge, to wash away, to blot out sins. All any human being can do is to beg God to graciously do what's beyond us to do. What the psalmist calls us to do this Lent is to bring to God a broken spirit, a heart broken open, a contrite heart that acknowledges that our sin is ever before us. And because God loves us with abundant mercy, literally with womb love, as a mother has for her child, as God loves us with this womb love, God does not despise us. God forgives us and forgives us and forgives us. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.